Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Let me introduce our esteemed guest, Rachel Robichaute.
Ooh, nailed it.
Ooh, good job.
Nailed it, right?
Mm-hmm. Boy, professional.
Mm-hmm. Avicenna.
Adesina, close.
Adesina,
social capital.
Yes, and so Rachel is the president and CEO, founder and CEO of Adesina Social Capital. So this is why this conversation is very important. So the firm is solely focused on socially responsible investing. Is that the correct term to use?
There are lots of different names for values aligned investing, and socially responsible investing is one that's fallen a little bit out of fashion. Now, mostly people refer to it as ESG or environmental social governance, but we go a step farther than that. We use the term social justice investing. We created it back in 2018.
Social justice investing. Mm-hmm. Very, very important, because it's ethical investing. And we'll explain through her backstory why that's important. But a lot of time people, you know, have dilemmas as far as like religious dilemmas or just their social belief. They don't want to invest in like prison companies. They don't want to invest in companies that contribute to, you know, war, cigarettes, things of that nature. So it's a whole industry of, you know, socially responsible, social justice mm-hmm. type of investing formats. And then another part is that so she actually has an ETF. JSTC is the ticker. Mm-hmm. So this is the first person that we've actually spoken to that has an ETF. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions yeah. about that as far as starting an ETF and, you know, that whole route. Yeah. It's debuted in 2020, I believe.
Yeah, December 8th, 2020.
Yes.
Our 1 year anniversary, the end of last year.
Congratulations.
That's amazing.
Yeah, most of them don't make it past 6 months. So we're pretty happy.
No, yeah. Congratulations. This is a very important conversation. Oh. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. And I've been listening to the conversation and it's really insightful.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. So we could do like a round table where everybody can ask a question. But the first question I want to ask is,
take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
I spoke to you offline, so I kind of know, you know, the backstory and why you're passionate. But can you explain, you know, briefly, like, your backstory and why socially responsible, social justice investing is something that is near and dear to your heart?
Absolutely. So I think when we spoke, I shared with you how I grew up, which is, it's a story that in finance is a really unusual story, but I have to say that for most Black folks in the United States, it's not. I grew up very poor, single mom, all Black community that was segregated. It was a very rural community where I grew up. And like in many Black communities, it was primarily women. The jobs went to men, but it was primarily women in the community because the men were either incarcerated or had been killed. I have 3 different family members that have been killed by the police, which I know was news to finance and much of the white world, but wasn't news if you have any love or community with Black folks. So I grew up in the situation where gender and racial justice were clearly important, like I was living the effects of not having them. And, you know, it had this direct impact on the economics and how we were living. But then something kind of interesting happened in 2017. And, you know, I had kind of pulled in racial, gender, economic justice into the work that I was doing in finance. But something interesting in 2017, we'd had the historic climate change had brought all of this snow right after a drought, and the Oroville Dam. So there's a big water development project that Black people had been brought up to put in place, and a lot of Black folks died creating that dam. It was about to burst, right, because of all of this climate change. And I was like, it is so obvious to me that the very community that was brought up here to build the dam is going to be the one most impacted by climate change. And wouldn't you know it, when they were showing the evacuation routes on international news, it was the south side of Oroville, which is where my folks were from. And it just really cemented my understanding that these issues of racial, gender, economic, and climate justice are very intertwined. And I know this is something that a lot of us know in our gut, but bringing it actually to the financial markets is my reason for being, not just because these are my values and finding companies that like that align with these issues are like my values. It actually makes really good financial sense as well. So, because we're a big part of the population, all those folks that get marginalized.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So one of the things you said was ESG, and I'm sure that there's a large part of the audience who have never heard the acronym or what it exactly is. Can you talk about what ESG is, environmental social governance is, and how do we find companies that fit that criteria?
Absolutely. So generally speaking, there's a lot of companies and asset managers that now say that they're doing ESG investing. And basically what it means is that they take things into consideration other than the direct financial reporting that companies put out and their share price. Like, so what they're saying is that these public companies were looking at their environmental impact, their social impact, their governance impact. But what's really interesting is that they're simply taking those things into consideration. It doesn't mean that they're actually absolutely screening in or out like the good or bad actors, which is why we went a step farther. You know, when I created social justice investing and the strategy that became Adesina back in 2018, it was because we were seeing like oil companies show up in ESG portfolios, and we were seeing, you know, I mean, we were seeing like weapons manufacturers show up in ESG portfolios, and we were like, wait a minute, something's not right here. And what we realized is that finance is just talking to itself. Finance is like talking to other financial analysts about how to define these things, and that we needed some more accountability with the communities that we wanted to impact. So that's the direction that we headed. But it's definitely, we are on the outside edge of ESG. Many people think of us as like the future of ESG investing.
Do you think, since you've taken this moral stance in a somewhat corrupt system, that you haven't gotten the backing or support that you would have wanted for your ETF?
Well, I can tell you, so we are at just under $100 million in assets, which sounds like a lot of money, but for any fund, that's actually, let's just say that we still have to do a lot of other work and get revenue from other sources kind of coming in. I didn't start an ETF to have $100 million, and it actually started an ETF. I built it as a $1 billion ETF from jump. And where it is right now is that a lot of people said that it was what they wanted.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
They were interested in, and that's why, you know, we're past the 1 year mark. We're, you know, coming up on 100 million, but really being new is one of the worst things that you can be in finance. Everybody wants a track record, wants to see that it's tried and true. And so, yeah, it's been tough. We've been, I joke about it and I say that it feels like I'm having to pave the ground in order to walk it. Like, you know, you go to try to get into these big institutional portfolios and they're like, great, where's your 3 year track record? Yet everyone's saying they want more diversity in asset management. So we've been starting all kinds of campaigns to kind of like change the way managers are evaluated and get more folks in.
So let me ask you that. And it's actually 19 Keys. I don't watch the show, but 19 Keys told me that Billions, the last episode that he watched, I think in this season, he's moving into like being ESG for his fund, socially responsible investing for his fund. So it's actually interesting because it's right along the lines of this conversation. So, okay, let me ask you this. What is the process to start an ETF? This is something that I'm interested in knowing.
So first we had an investment strategy in-house. We had wealth management clients. So I was very lucky and I was very lucky in my community and was born with above average intelligence. I graduated from high school when I was 15. I started a financial firm when I was 25. I have to say that because when I tell people I have over 20 years of experience in the industry, they don't believe me. So in our wealth management firm, we put a strategy in place that was like, hey, you should be buying these stocks, not these, based on this set of values and also what you believe the financial returns are going to be for the companies that are listening, right, to these movements. And we had run that strategy for over a year. So you have to already have a strategy and some way to implement it. And then what we realized is that a lot of folks said, you know what, I really love your strategy, but I don't want to leave my financial advisor. Can you make a fund? And a lot of financial advisors were like, this is a really great idea. If you made a fund, you know, we'd want to invest. And so one of the things that you have to do to create an ETF is build a trust. So it's this whole large instrument that has oversight with the regulators, that can cost a lot of money, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. We didn't have that. And so what a lot of folks do when they start an ETF now is partner up with an ETF trust. So Title ETF Trust is the company that we partnered up with. So they have a board, they oversee and make sure that, you know, we're dotting all of our I's and crossing all of our T's and managing the strategy the way that we say we will. But the process of actually creating the ETF is a lot of regulatory filings. And but it does end up with you trading your fund over the stock exchange. It trades like a stock, which is really important because, you know, a lot of the mutual funds out there have pay to play at the different brokerage companies where you would buy them. You know, you have to like pay $50,000, $100,000 to get your mutual fund even sold on certain brokerage houses. So we were like, we want to trade just like a stock. So we went the route of the ETF, rang the bell on Wall Street virtually because it was a pandemic. But yeah, that's kind of the short story of how to create an ETF. Which part interests you most?
So as far as how did you get listed? Like once you do all the paperwork, how much money do you need to have in it? And how do you get listed? You're on the New York Stock Exchange. So how did you get listed on it? Does every ETF go to the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ? Like, what's the process for that?
No, that's a really good question. Actually, you choose. So you can be on the NASDAQ, you can be on the NYSE. Lots of times choosing which exchange you're on is just kind of like which exchange has the reputation for your particular type of product. We're a long only product, public market stocks. You know, we aren't doing short sales or anything like that. And so the NYSE ARCA made the most sense. But you do choose. It's a pretty straightforward application process. That's not the hard part. The hard part is getting a market maker. So actually getting, and we were really lucky that, you know, we found a brother that was actually in the space. Because let me tell you, when I say we're really lucky, asset management is almost 99%. The firms are owned by white men. So it's a big deal to have a Black woman owned firm and to actually have a market maker where the person that was representing us is a Black man. So you actually finding a market maker, that's somebody that's willing to say like, hey, when people want to buy your ETF, I'll go buy $1.5 million and resell it, right? Like resell to people that want to buy your ETF because you only have certain authorized participants that can buy ETFs. They're these huge, usually huge banks. And you have to have a market maker that's willing to like go make a market for your ETF. So that's actually the harder part and more of the relationship part.
That's a lot. So
that is a lot.
Yeah. So I know that you, obviously racial justice is key, gender justice, economic justice, and climate inequities is kind of what the ETF is based off. But what is the criteria? Because I went through the list and I'm looking at this. Is this something that you and your team came up with, or did you meet with organizations and said, all right, what are the things that you want to fight for? Like, I'm assuming like color of change and Black Lives Matter. Are you meeting with these people to come up with criteria to say this
Okay. Yeah. So that was the big problem. Like, you know, how do you end up with these like really bad public actors inside of ESG portfolios? And it's like, there's no accountability mechanism. So we set ourselves up to be accountable to the movement for these particular issues. So like the Movement for Black Lives is one of our social justice partners. We follow the lead of Color for Change. And these are organizations that we've met with and meet with regularly to say like, okay, there's suddenly lots of interest in racial justice investing. You know, it looks like the industry's turning, this happened in 2020, the industry's turning its attention toward people on corporate boards. Is that where you want us to focus? No, the answer came back. You need to keep on working on decarceration and ending profiting in private prisons. So not only do we not include those types of companies in our portfolio, we also research the underpinnings of what allows those companies to exist. Like what are the financial instruments? And we organize other investors with us to divest and to actually start bringing down some of those asset prices long-term. So yeah, but then, you know, it's focusing on what people say actually matters versus the data that may be available and seems related. That's generally how finance and ESG works right now, which is people really surprised when I say that, but truly it's like, oh, what do we have data for? I guess we can count the number of people we think on the board who might be people of color. I'm like, that's not a way to address racial justice. You have to end the like profiting from mass incarceration, which is that whole system that put the knee on George Floyd's neck. Like that's what you have to do. And, you know, and setting up accountability to the right communities ensures that you do that.
my graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.